Spin 103.8. This is Spin Talk with Lauren. Today I would like to hear from you if you watched last night's primetime, Carers in Crisis. And I would especially love to speak to you if you or someone you know is a carer. Just what is the reality for you? What kind of support do you need? Get involved. I'm on 087 711 1038. Joining me on the line now is Catherine Cox, who's Head of Communications with Family Carers Ireland. Hi, Catherine. You're very welcome to Spin.
Hi, Lauren. Thanks very much for having me.
Catherine, I gave people a brief description at the beginning of the show, but for anyone who didn't see Primetime Carers in Crisis last night, can you just tell us a bit about what was aired and what people will have seen?
Well, it looked at a number of different family carers and I suppose their lives and their day-to-day, the challenges they face. So we had one gentleman, Jack Brennan, who is 83 and he cares for his wife. And his wife, Bernie, had a stroke, or sorry, has Alzheimer's for the last 17 years. So Jack has been caring for her for 17 years. His own health is poor. In fact, since making the program, he's had a minor stroke, so he's in hospital at the moment. But he's been caring for 17 years. Now he gets 2.5 hours a day home help. So somebody comes in the morning, somebody at lunchtime for about 3/4 of an hour, and somebody around 6. But other than that, he's doing the rest himself. And as he said himself, the nights are worse than the days. So quite often he's up a number of times during the night. He's dressing, feeding, changing. So he does everything for his wife. And what was really, I suppose, hard-hitting was, you know, they said, why'd you do it? Obviously, he does it out of love for his wife. And he said he doesn't want to see her have to go into a nursing home. That was always, she never wanted it and he just doesn't want it either. So he is struggling. Obviously he's elderly himself. He does need more help, but at the moment he's not getting it. And then, as I said, he recently had a minor stroke himself. Then we had another very hard-hitting case, a lady, Jacinta, who's caring for her son, Sammy, who's 18, who has profound autism. And most recently, he has become very violent, unfortunately, towards himself and also towards others in the family, in particular his mother. And she showed us one horrific picture of bruises that she had as a result of him headbutting her constantly for 20 minutes in one of his, I suppose, when he gets an episode. So we had lots of carers, different situations, younger and older, caring who, as we say, they are most definitely in crisis. And what's probably the most worrying thing is that those carers last night only represent thousands of other carers, unfortunately, who are in similar situations and who are not getting the support, in particular respite, but also someone coming into the home and giving them home respite and breaks that they need to continue caring safely in their home for their loved ones. So it was hard-hitting, it was shocking, it was heartbreaking, but it's the reality of caring in Ireland today.
And for people who might not be aware, because I'm sure there are people listening, Catherine, who are all too aware because it's the situation they're in, and I would love to hear from people today. But for people who might not be in the know, like if you have someone in your family that you care for, where do you go for help? What is the setup with our health service? Who do you call if you need respite or support?
The problem is that we have what we call a postcode lottery of services and supports in Ireland. So sometimes, depending on where you live, you might get good respite or you might get poor respite or no respite. So that's the first problem. In terms of then services, because our services come under different areas within the HSE and within our health services. So if it's a younger person under the age of 18, it falls under children's services. If it's over 18, it falls under disabilities. And then over 65, you're into older person services. So there's all these silos. And depending on the age of the person, you come under those different departments. So it can be very difficult for somebody when they first become a carer to know where to go. So we would say, call Family Carers Ireland in the first instance. We have a free phone care line. It's 1-800-240-7-24. So if they call that, they can talk to us. We can tell them who is the best person to talk to in terms of if they're within the health services. So most often it is a public health nurse if they're looking for services, for example, to come into their home. But we can advise them then if they may be entitled to carer's allowance, for example, if they're caring full-time for a loved one, or if there are other payments and entitlements that they may be able to receive. So we would advise them and support them and take them through filling out those applications and so on. But it's such a complicated system, and the fact that depending on where you live will, you know, depend on what service you get, is completely inadequate. So the current system, it's underfunded, it's inconsistent, it's fragmented. And what we're saying is, first of all, we have to remove that postcode lottery. A carer anywhere in this country should be able to get the same services. Carer in Dublin should be able to get the same services as a carer in Donegal. At the moment, they can't. So they first of all have to remove that, you know, post lottery services and support. But secondly, they do have to put more funding into home care, because it is seriously underfunded. And for a carer like that lady Jacinta last night, caring for her 18-year-old son, they are not getting any respite. So, you know, she said at least in the past, she knew that at the end of the month, she would have a break that she knew she would get, where her son would go into residential care, where she would have a break from her caring role. But at the moment, she's not getting that because respite services have been cut. So it is vital that funding is put into respite services. And it has to be done now, because for that lady and for other carers similar, there are serious threats to her health and safety in the situation that she's in now. And she needs more than respite. She needs somebody coming in, supporting her and caring for her son, and looking at what are the risks there, how do they prevent them, how do they support her. You know, she needs help of the GP. I'm sure she's getting it, but she needs a number of health professionals coming in there, looking at that situation and saying, is this safe? And if it's not, how do we make it safe?
Of course, because you can understand, like, someone like Jacinta or Jack, as you mentioned, people want their loved ones at home. They're part of your family, and you know them better than anyone. You know what they need, but it is support there. So from people that you have spoken to through your work at Family Carers Ireland, obviously it's a case-by-case situation. Different people require different levels of support.
Yes.
And as you said, Catherine, it's just all so complicated.
It is, but what we're saying is really, it can be made quite simple.
Okay.
What is required is that when somebody becomes a carer and when they need services, needs assessment should be done on the carer and the cared for person. And that needs assessment should show, what does this carer need to care safely in their home for their loved one? And that may be somebody coming in an hour a day, 2 hours a day. It might also be a respite break at the end of a month. It might also be they need a hoist so they can lift the person carefully without damaging their own back, and maybe some training. And if that needs assessment was done correctly for the carer and the cared for person, then a package of care could be put in place that may not be a huge cost, because, you know, if you're looking at caring for someone at home as opposed to caring for someone in a residential setting, residential care, hospital care, you're talking about close to €1,000 per week. You know, home care can be done for less if it's done properly, and if that needs assessment is done properly and the supports are put in place for carers to do that carefully.
Catherine, great to speak to you. Really appreciate your time. Just give me that number again for anyone who's listening, maybe, for Family Carers Ireland.
Absolutely. So it's 1-800-24-07-24. And we've trained volunteers, and they can talk to carers or other family members and just advise them and try and support them through, you know, what is a complicated health services. But we also provide trained workers that go into homes and give carers a break as well. So that might be something we may be able to offer people as well. So do make contact with us, and we'll help you any way we can.
Catherine Cox, Head of Communications with Family Carers Ireland. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Get involved in the conversation today. I would love to speak to you. Your reaction to last night, if you were watching it, your reaction to Catherine there, and, you know, her telling us about some of the people who featured on the show last night, and just the fact that they represent thousands of carers and cared for people here in Ireland. What is the reality for you? What kind of support do you need? I'm on 087 711 1038. Evelyn joins me on the line. Hi, Evelyn.
Hi, Lauren. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Evelyn, you got in touch straight away when this discussion started. Tell me a bit about you.
It just, when I heard you, I always listen to you, Lauren. You always talk about great subjects, so thank you for that.
Thanks, Emil.
But I just happened to be in the car and listening, and it just really touched the core of my soul, really, because I'm one of the forgotten thousands in the country. Now, unfortunately, I didn't see the programme last night, but I'll try and track it down.
I'd say you'd get it on the player today, maybe, Evelyn. But just even hearing Catherine talk a bit about it and some of the situations the family are in, families are in. Tell me a bit about your family and your boys.
Okay, I've got two boys. Sean is age 24. Stephen's age 21. They're the absolute pride of my life. They're both special needs, both in wheelchairs and 100% dependent. They're non-verbal as well, so, but they're well able to boss me around and look for what they want now. But I'm only one of hundreds of thousands in the country, and we're totally forgotten about.
Something Catherine mentioned from Family Carers Ireland was, you know, when you move from child services to disability services. So did you have more services available to you when the boys were younger?
Absolutely. The child services are really, really good. The adult services are, it's heartbreaking. You have to speak up, fight for everything. I'm a single mum. And, you know, it's so busy running the house, cooking, cleaning, washing sheets every single day. And that you actually get tired having to make all these phone calls and beg and ask. So now, like, I find myself in a situation, I have a very small family and they're busy with their own lives, children, grandchildren, but they're very good to me. If I need them, they're there. I have a very small group of friends who, again, are all very busy with their own lives, and but would be there if I needed them. I have amazing neighbours, but inside the front door, it's total isolation, Lauren. I mean, I haven't had a break in 3 years, and Sean, my eldest boy, will go into respite, but my youngest boy, Stephen, won't. He won't leave my side. He won't let me out of his sight. Except they go to daycare during the day to St. Michael's House, which is brilliant.
Oh, I've heard of St. Michael's House. Someone mentioned it before. Yeah. They do incredible work. So is that every day for a few hours?
Every day. They're picked up at 9:30. They come home at 4:00.
Okay.
And respite has been completely cut. Like Sean, it's very hit and miss. He'll only get respite maybe 2 nights every... Okay, none during the summer at all. He has a weekend coming up soon, but respite's practically gone.
That must be very, very hard on you, Evelyn.
It is, Lauren, and I'm... What you have to do is get into the frame of mind. I have to forget about everything nearly outside the house. I mean, look, I've had a great life. I'm 60 years of age now. And I have wonderful memories that keep me going. But still, 60 is a bit young to still have no life for yourself. And, like, I've got the two boys. I don't just have one. I've got the two. And it's just total isolation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But I can't even arrange to do anything at night. The organisation. And then the money to pay for babysitters and everything. So, look, I've just given up and just dedicated myself to the home and the boys. And my friends come to me in the house.
And as you said, you have great friends and good neighbours, but there's only so much people can do. Evelyn, yes. I hate to ask this, but I know it's something you have thought of.
Ask me anything.
What about the future for the boys? Because you aren't going to be here forever.
I don't go there. I can't think about that, Lauren. That's not a privilege I have.
Like, that's something that faces so many families. And I just wonder, is that something that the people in charge, the politicians in this country, think about, is the future for your boys? And I'm really sorry to go there. And I'm not trying to upset you, but I think that's the reality for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can't even think about that, Lauren. It's one day at a time for me. And I can't even think about that. That's too scary. That is too scary.
But so, look, what do you think needs to change? Respite, you mentioned. There needs to be more funding in respite services here in Ireland. What else day to day would make life easier for you and Sean and Stephen?
I need more care. I need more help for me personally. I do have carers coming in the morning for Sean. Stephen, my youngest, again, won't let anybody near him except me. He was very, very sick as a baby and a toddler. And I think he just wants all the time. What do I think needs to change? I think there needs to be a whole new section set up within the HSE that is totally dedicated to carers and disability. Not just a disability politician. It needs to be a whole new thing. Like, there's a separate tax area, there's social welfare. There needs to be a whole new section set up for disability and carers. And everybody has to be,
dedicated team, dealing with carers in Ireland. Evelyn, I can't thank you enough for coming on and for sharing your story and telling me about Sean and Stephen. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, they're, by the way, they're gorgeous, Lauren.
I'm sure they are.
Gorgeous. And thank you. And thank you for bringing up this issue on the programme, because there's so many of us just getting on with it, you know.
Yeah.
Because we've no choice.
Thanks, Evelyn.
Thank you, Lauren.
Good to speak to you today. There are so many people in Evelyn's position, and I know it's an upsetting topic, but it is something that is worth talking about. The show really had such a massive reaction caused such a reaction last night. Carers in crisis, and that's why we wanted to talk about it. Tell me about you and about your family and just how you are feeling today. Do you feel forgotten like Evelyn does? I'm on 087 711 1038. Now, we mentioned Jacinta, who featured in the show last night, and her son, Sam, who's 18 and has autism. Teresa joins me on the line now. Hi, Teresa.
Hiya.
Teresa, similar to Jacinta, you have a son who has autism. Tell me a bit about him.
I do. He's only a little one. He's 5 years old. And he's amazing. He has a lot of challenges. And he's non-verbal, and he has challenging behaviours, and we try our best to do what we can, but it is a struggle.
Evelyn, who was on before, you mentioned, having to fight and beg and plead for everything.
You have to beg for everything. Things that should be there to support you in caring for your child, you have to beg for them. Beg for help. Like, for instance, my child has challenging behaviours, and he pulls my hair when I'm driving. And I nearly crashed the car there a couple of months ago, and I rang and said, I need help. He's, going to kill us. Can someone help me? And 6 months later, still haven't heard anything, until the other day when I had to ring and say again, after another, when we slid on ice the other morning, I had to ring and say again, he's going to kill me. Will someone please help me? And now I'm getting a meeting, and they might be able to help. They're going to try and see what they can do. But it's a shared responsibility caring for someone with disability. It can't be only on the family carer. It has to be a shared responsibility between the state, between society, and between the family carer. It can't be just left to the family member to do on their own.
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to do it. Everyone wants to care for the family member in their own home and give them everything that they need. But we need support, be it a break, equipment, businesses to support us in making things inclusive for people with disabilities. It needs to be a shared responsibility.
Yeah, Evelyn, as you could hear from her, adores her boys. It's not that people don't want to take care of their family member, but it's the reality that you cannot do it alone, and that you
need... want to give them a quality care.
Yes.
You don't want to give them, there's certain things you need to provide quality care, and with the income on carers being so low, it's hard to provide that.
Yeah, how does that work now? How did you go about getting your carer's allowance initially, or was that a struggle as well?
It is a struggle to him. It's about a 17 or 18 week wait when you apply for it, and you have to fill out a load of forms. You get a domiciliary care allowance if your child is under 16, and then when they go over 16, they can apply for their own disability payment.
Okay. Which, you fill out, and I'm sure Evelyn did for her lads as well. So, what do you think needs to change, Teresa?
Well, the HSC are just failing in so many areas, I wouldn't even know where, like, to begin. But like the girl said on the family carers, it is about doing a care plan for each individual, mm-hmm. and then, like, this, they need to identify the needs and do something about providing the yeah. needs of the carer and the need of the person that needs to be cared for.
Yeah, and that doesn't have to cost the earth. Like, the carer and the cared for person, you know, can help organise that plan. I don't think people are asking for millions. It's just simple things. For example, like, I don't know what you would need for the car, just to make that a bit safer for you when you're driving, but I wouldn't imagine it's very expensive.
Well, to buy it myself, it's like €450 for a strap that it can attach to a car seat, or as he gets older, he'll need an actual car seat, and that could be up to €2,000, which as a single mother, I can't afford. Mm-hmm. So it's about, like, they're like disability aids. You should be able to apply for them if you have a medical card or whatever, and be able to, I should be able to bring my child to school without worrying, like, are we going to make it there alive?
Yeah. Teresa, really appreciate you coming on. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Lovely to speak to you. And Evelyn as well, just for being so honest and talking about your family and talking about something so close to your heart. I really do appreciate it. Jed has been in touch on Facebook to say, would be nice if care homes were that awesome, that elderly people would be delighted to move in and get cared for by trained staff. But unfortunately, that's not always the case in Ireland. You have prisoners being treated better by the state while our elderly suffer. Yes, and, you know, we heard from Catherine about Jack and his wife, Bernie, and Teresa and Evelyn, you know, talking about their kids. Of course, you want your family member at home as long as possible. But I do understand where you're coming from, Jed. There's a lot of elderly people in this country that have no choice but to go to a home, and the fear of going to a home, and that's something that Jack Brennan spoke about on the show last night, that Bernie never wanted that. Caroline says, it's shocking what these families are going through, so sad seeing all they have to do by themselves with little or no assistance. I'm looking after my terminally ill dad, and I thought I had it tough until I saw this programme last night. Our government should be ashamed of themselves. You can get involved in the conversation. Let me know your reaction to carers in crisis last night. I'm on 087 711 1038. Nicola joins me on the line now. Hi, Nicola.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you very much. Nicola, I understand you're a carer for your parents, but also for your daughter.
That's correct.
Okay, tell me a bit about your day-to-day life.
Yeah, so my life is a full-time carer for the last 5.5 years. And I was completely in the corporate world before any of this. My daughter has a very chronic seizure disorder, so she can experience up to 14 seizures every 24 hours and does consistently experience those numbers. However, she's 20. She's lived with this illness a long time and she's quite independent now, but I have to be there in terms of reaction to various symptoms for her.
Okay.
So I couldn't even commit to a job, just even though she's independent as such. She can dress, she's mobile, she goes out, she studies, she runs with her neurologist. I have to be in the background to react whenever Katie needs us, whenever she's sick. But my parents at the moment, the last year, have really taken up, I suppose, most of my caring time. My daddy's illness, he had two bad strokes about 1.5 years ago. And so he's deteriorated with dementia-like symptoms over the last 1.5 years. And my mum has macular degeneration, so she's legally blind. Neither of them can drive. They're 86 and 83. And although my dad's mobile, he has no cognition, so I look after all their paperwork. They won't get taxis because my dad's dementia makes them quite cross about letting people into the house or going out with anyone other than myself. I look after their medications. I'm the expert in terms of all the medications. Katie's certainly her own expert now, but I'd be expert on what to do in Katie's brain illness and my dad's brain illness. And then I look after, obviously, mom's shopping. So it is more than a full-time role.
Yeah.
Like last week, mom phoned me. We're only about a mile away from each other. I don't live with them, but I'm up there every day for at least 4 hours. And there's tricky things. Where the services are lacking is that a doctor might send a public health nurse, and the public health nurse has visited. But when you're talking about two elderly people who have their pride intact. My mum's 84, my dad's 86. My mum's a little scared of the diagnosis. She'd go quite quiet and close if someone would come to the door that's a stranger. Yeah. And so there's an occupational therapy report sitting under the couch somewhere saying, oh yeah, a ramp would be great and, you know, make it safer, make it this, make it that. And mum will go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they'll leave, and we're left with the crises that happen. And the crises could be anything from my dad won't allow any worker into this old house to fix their electricity, so they've half the electricity on in the house. There's no one there to gently come other than family to say it to him, and he explodes with all the family. There's no one to come in and go, right, what do we need to attack today? And when you bring it up at a GP's office, you're told that's a family matter. I'm an unofficial carer for them because of their pride as well. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure I would officially get half carer's allowance for them and for Katie, but I haven't done that. So I get a single carer's allowance, which is equivalent to signing on every week for the dole. I worked for 21 years of my life paying taxes in the country. My life is completely different, but I have no choice. I have no siblings. You know, so in terms of the supports, you know, they're not there. And I have 6 boxes filled with paperwork from the letters and the paper that every governmental department in this country has wanted for the last 6 years. 6 boxfuls, box files. And all I've been thinking while I'm writing these letters over the years, and more letters, and more letters, and more forms, and more book forms, and more phone calls, and can you fax that, or can you... I'm thinking, well, I have to get a printer now. So I got a printer 3 years ago. And that's our government department. That's the Department of Education. Katie got 7 hours a week and was told by her school to leave until she got better. A private school in this country. She didn't get better. She had to be homeschooled. I was livid. I wanted more hours for the poor girl. She was crying every day. She wanted her leaving cert. In the end, she got 10 hours a week. I hadn't a pot to pee in. I couldn't hire a private tutor, but I did. I scrimped. I saved. I don't go out anymore. I've completely isolated myself. And I, you know, I mean, these are the realities. There's no point in having a pity party on the phone, but you've no idea. And I'm articulate and can write letters well. What about people who can't? I'm always thinking about them. What about people who can't? You know?
Oh, Nicola, I don't know what to say to you. It's so overwhelming.
And I don't have family. Like, our family is old. My dad's brothers are old. I don't have siblings.
Do you ever get a break, Nicola?
I do, but this year now I haven't in a while, and I would worry about being away. Like, Katie's fine with her boyfriend, so at least he's like our angel.
Oh.
You know, there's the independence now with Katie. But legally, and I'm saying this on live radio, and I don't care. I've been looked after for housing. I'm in a gorgeous housing, social housing unit in Dunleary, a brand new one. So we have been blessed, but that was another box and a half load for the last 6 years.
It all just sounds so overwhelming and so stressful, Nicola.
What about me? Like, come in, live our life. Watch the rugs I have to buy for the kitchen tiles where Katie could crack her head off the floor every time she falls.
Yeah.
The rugs I have to buy for a kitchen floor. Nobody thinks of these things on a salary of 180 euro, whatever it is, a week.
No.
But that's the reality.
It's so important to highlight. Nicola,
the first lady who said we need a Department of Disability is right. We need a Department of Disability for this to fall under, for families to go with their paperwork and go, no, you do it. I'm caring. You do the paperwork. Paper, it's nonsense. We haven't changed. I hope Leo Radker is listening to this. I didn't watch Prime Time last night, but when you're talking so seriously about a subject that's not talked about enough, it makes me livid because I've had too many crises in my life. I am on anti-stress medication. Our whole family is on anti-stress medication. So, I know that's bad luck
family,
but you've no idea. The paperwork, I could take pictures of it and send it into you. The health paperwork. Good God, don't even go there.
Nicola, if it's okay with you, we might just check in with you after the show, because I feel like I've wound you up a bit now. So I hope you're okay, and I'm really grateful that you've come on, because it is very stressful. So we're going to touch base in a few minutes, okay? Is that all right?
Yeah, thanks. Okay, bye.
Thanks, Nicola. And I understand, of course, it is so stressful, and I am not trying to wind anyone up or upset anyone today, but to hear Nicola, you know, let the floodgates open and talk about the reality and the stress in her life, because as she said, it's not talked about. So when you get a chance, you are going to go to town on it, and I think people need to hear that. But it is important for us, we have a responsibility to make sure Nicola's okay. So going to take a quick break.